World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, into the second hour of our marvelous offering here this evening. Good to be with you guys wherever you are. You can listen to us on TuneIn or by way of one of our fine affiliates, or you can go to our website and listen to the show by way of a live stream on the website. Or if you're a Backstage Pass member, which means you're a subscriber to our site, you have daily show podcast, which is the full three-hour show. You also have a video cast of the show. And that can be interesting, or it can be frightening. What do you think is the... Do you think people watch the show?
Well, I know that people watch the show on demand. I know there's quite a few people that watch it live. I've seen the statistics. I've seen the breakdown. You are a very unusual-looking man, Phil. I'm not saying that you're an unattractive man, but you're very unusual to look at, and I think it may frighten some people.
Yeah, dude, you know, kind of like, I'm not seeing an elephant man or anything.
Boy, bud, of all the people to be talking about the elephant man, you know.
No, I'm kidding, man. Yeah, well, I'm not that bad off. Then I'm not saying I'm bad, but Mr. Henry's worse off than me.
What do you mean worse off, man?
I'm just saying, you know. I'm saying that given you and given me and given you and given me.
And given you and given me.
Yeah.
What about it?
Just, you know. You're pretty tough to look at.
Thank you. Jeez, God, what a bunch of... Thanks a lot. What, are you making fun of everybody's looks here?
I didn't say anything about your looks, Phil. I said you're very unusual looking, that's all. Very unusual looking.
Well, what is that? That's going to make people think that I've got three heads or something. Tell them what it means.
It means that the way you do your show, not the way you look, but the way you do your show is so weird.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's just weird, man.
Oh, will you get out of here, both of you?
Well, it is.
Yeah, uh-huh. The way I do my show is so weird. I do it the way I do it, okay? All right, so thank you again, Rudy. And go to the website, pick up that Je T'aime Lingerie, you know, Je T'aime Lingerie thing, man. Get that T-shirt. Now, we're going to have Art Griego on because I want to talk about airline seats. Now, I was talking to the audience during the breaks, talking to our online audience during the break, and asking the question, do you guys sleep on airplanes, Bud?
What?
Are you able to sleep when you're taking an airplane ride?
I've never been on an airplane. You ain't never been on an airplane? Nah.
You've never flown?
Uh-uh.
Okay. Well, someday you'll fly and...
Well, I mean, why? What reason would I have?
If you want to go somewhere that's a long distance away.
Well, I'd ride my bike there.
You ride your bike to where?
San Francisco.
What if you want to go to New York?
I don't want to go to New York.
If you someday go to New York, man, you're going to fly. You're going to take your motorcycle?
Probably.
Okay, Robert, do you sleep or do you...
I sleep pretty good. I sleep... Sometimes I can sleep all the way through it.
What's the longest you've ever slept on an aircraft?
By far, I slept all the way through, like, you know, 4 hours.
4 hours?
That, I can't do that. I've slept an hour or two.
General?
I'm like Robert. I'm able to... I'm a very vigilant person, but I am generally able to sleep a few hours, yes. But, you know, that came by way of the military. When we were taking transports and so forth, you learn how to sleep because you really have no choice.
All right. I envy you, General, and I envy you, Robert, because anybody that can sleep for 4 hours on an aircraft, to me, that's phenomenal. I don't. I probably sleep...
How long have you fallen asleep on an airplane?
I haven't slept more than a half hour.
Wow. Yeah, that's all. What, are you all afraid of flying and everything?
No, I'm not afraid of flying, bud. I'm the guy that's... You're the one that hasn't ever flown, okay?
What?
You're the guy that's never been on an airplane.
What?
You know, I'm going to belt you in about 5 seconds. Not Margaret, me. It'll be me. The fist that you feel will be this one, and it's connected to this arm that's connected to this shoulder.
Yeah.
And it's connected... And who has the shoulder?
You.
Thank you. So,
Well, I mean...
Never mind, bud. We're done asking you the questions. Now we're on to the host of the show, me, Phil Henry, and I'm saying I've never been able to sleep more than 20 minutes or a half an hour. Art Griego is going to join us here in a moment. He is a... Art has been a commercial pilot. He has been a private pilot. He's been a charter pilot. He has flown freight. I mean, this is a guy that's done it all. Has owned his own freight service, has owned his own aircraft from time to time, and flew commercially for some 23 years. He's going to talk with us about the comfort of air travel, which I think is if you ask me, I think that's 90% of the battle, man. I'll go through just about anything if I know that when I get on that aircraft and I sit down, I'm going to be in a nice, comfortable seat, and I'm going to have a nice, comfortable time of it, you know. And that means if it's delayed, I understand all that stuff. I understand that some things are unavoidable. But one thing that can be within the control of the airline and the crew is the comfort of the aircraft and the experience of the passenger. So Art Griega is going to come on here and talk with us about that as well. I want to tell you that tomorrow night I will be on Caleb Brown's Man School. He's doing a live webcast. And for more information on that, we'll be posting tomorrow on our website. We'll also be posting on our fan page at facebook.com. Caleb is a podcaster, has been podcasting Man School for quite some time on the Sideshow Network, is going to be doing a video cast live tomorrow night. We'll be a part of that. And I'll give you some more information on that throughout the course of the program. But because we will be on Caleb's podcast, his live podcast tomorrow night, a video cast, we will be on a best of footing tomorrow night.
So we don't have to come in?
No, you don't have to come in. God.
Well, Phil, don't get all... You want me to come in here and sit here and stare at a wall while there's no one here?
Yeah, that'd be kind of dumb, Mr. Henry, for people to do that.
No, but you don't have to sound all eager, you know.
Well, if we don't have to come in, I've got something I need to do.
What is that?
Well, we're playing darts at the John Bull. You know, I was not able to join the dart team, but if tomorrow night is open, I can get in a few, get in a couple of games and have myself a pint or two.
All right, have fun at the John Bull, you know.
Well, you look like you're jealous.
Maybe I am.
You don't want to do the Man School podcast on account of he going to be on the John Bull?
What? What did you say?
You're jealous because you don't get to play darts tomorrow night.
I could care less about... I was never any good at darts. I don't care, you know.
You still would rather be there quaffing a pint, wouldn't you?
But, you know, your voice is about to crack again.
Oh, give me a break, will you?
All right, yes, I would rather be... No, I wouldn't rather be. I'd rather be doing Man School tomorrow night. I'd rather be there enjoying life with my compatriots. If I got nothing better to do, then yeah, going to the John Bull for a pint and playing darts, you know.
You weren't any good at darts.
No, I wasn't any good at darts. I was never any good at darts. Never any good at darts. So I was no good on any dart team.
What was you good at?
Why don't you shut up, okay? All right.
Wow, where'd that come from?
What are you all pissed off about, sir?
Can I get to what it is I want to talk about without you guys asking me about darts and bowling and whatever the hell else?
Just ask what you're good at.
I'm good at picking you up and throwing you out the front door. I'm going to throw this place into the street, okay?
All right.
All right, so Art Griego is with us. Art is in Santa Monica, California this evening, and will be talking with us about his experience as an airline pilot. He's at Santa Monica Airport this evening, and it's good to be with you, Art. As a commercial pilot, how long did you fly?
Phil, I flew for 23 years, as you indicated. I flew for a number of commercial carriers. I'd rather not mention the names of the carriers because much of what I talk about on your program and other programs is of a controversial nature, but I have, I've from time to time, I guess, flew for just about every commercial carrier there was and then some.
And as a pilot, I know some people might not think that you're all that aware of the relative comfort or the complaints or the praise that a passenger may have for the experience, but you are, right?
Oh, yeah, we were very much, and I made it a part of my job to know how the passenger felt, and if the passenger felt that they were being treated well, and if they felt it was a good experience. I always wanted to know about that. Safety is the number one concern, Phil, and we've always said that safety is the number one concern. But then I think after that, of course, comes the comfort of the passengers.
And you heard me saying here earlier that when it comes to sleeping on an aircraft, I'm not the most comfortable guy. I sleep maybe 20 minutes. It doesn't matter. How far we're going.
Well, I was going to ask you, does that include long flights? For instance, I know you've traveled to Europe several times.
Yeah, if I'm on an 11-hour flight, I can't sleep more than a half an hour, I don't think, at any one time. I may be able to, in different parts of the flight, fall out for a half hour here, a half hour there, but never any long extended period of time.
Yeah. you know, it's an interesting thing. Up in the cockpit, we are able on the flight deck to, we were able to grab a few hours of sleep. And I would say, back in the days when we had navigators, you know, we don't have a navigator anymore. It's all online computer. But you would be able to grab a couple hours of sleep. You had it on autopilot. Some of these guys would get on board, sit down, throw it on autopilot, go to sleep, and they wouldn't wake up until the plane is about ready to land. And of course, you know the stories of some guys. They wind up sleeping, and you wake up, and you've overshot your airline or your airport by 200, 300, 400 miles.
Does that happen often?
Well, I don't want to talk out of school, but you heard the news report last year.
Yeah, no, I heard of the Northwest Airlines flight.
That was one last year where they fell asleep. But Phil, I want to know what Phil wants to know. Does that happen a lot?
You know, it happens. I'm not going to comment. It never happened to me. It didn't happen to me in any greater number of times than it would happen to anybody else. But if you are tired and you have been, you know, you've been flying back and forth between, say, Los Angeles and Las Vegas. And I was on that run for probably a solid month, just going between L.A. and Vegas. That's going to take its toll because you are expected to, you've got to get off the aircraft. And you get off the aircraft, now where are you? You're either in Los Angeles or you're in Las Vegas. These are two cities that are not exactly for the shy and retiring type. Or the wallflowers. So you get off the aircraft, and that means you've got no choice but to go out, and you do the best you can, trying to, you know, stay sober, or you're trying to stay away. You're trying to do the very best you can to get to bed early and to get on the aircraft and to fly an aircraft and make sure it lands when you want it to land.
Well, what are you talking about now?
Well, I'm sorry.
But Phil,
go ahead, General.
You said that you, this is General Shaw, Mr. Grego, how are you?
Yes, General, good.
You said that you are, you have no choice, you do the best you can when you're in a city like Los Angeles or Las Vegas, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right, well, what does that mean? Are you trying to tell me and tell Phil's audience that you have no choice but do you have no choice but to overshoot your destination because you're asleep?
Well, no, it's not that you have no choice, but you are flying between Las Vegas and Los Angeles.
We heard that, Art, but we want to know, what does that mean? Are you sleeping and not landing where you should?
There were times, yes, because you're getting off an aircraft and you're going into either Los Angeles or Las Vegas. As I said, those are two cities that are not known as places where you're going to go and get lots of sleep. You know, these are party cities. Miami is another one. New York is another one. And so you land and you're expected to get off the aircraft. You're not going to sleep on the aircraft. Are we all agreed there?
Yes, of course. But the point is you're getting off the aircraft. And then you're doing what?
You're getting off the aircraft, and you've got maybe a half a dozen flight attendants, and they're looking at you, expecting you to go with them to the places where they go. I'm not sure I understand what the confusion is.
And well, if you've got flight attendants...
Phil, you land in a city like Las Vegas. You've got a half a dozen flight attendants staring at you, and they're going to the place where they go to drink the alcoholic beverage. Hello? And
No, I understand they're going to go party. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, they're going to go party. And so they go and they look at you and they're wondering, are you going to go with us to the place where the alcoholic beverage...
You don't have to talk to us like we're stupid, Art, you know?
No, hold on, because I get into this problem with a lot of people, and I'm trying to get you to understand what I do as a flight, as a flying pilot, as a man that flies, as a pilot who's also a man. Hold on for a minute.
As a pilot?
Yes, but I'm a pilot that flies. Well, all pilots fly, but I'm a pilot that flies into a city in an airplane. I don't know.
You know, Art, the more you talk, the less confidence I have in your veracity and your, you know...
Well, I find that insulting.
Oh, hold on, General. So you land in Las Vegas or you land in Las... Should we break, Nikki? We're way over. Let me...
Wait a minute. I had a lot to say.
We're going to take a break here. I apologize, Nikki. We're going to break. We'll be right back with more from Art Griego as we talk about the relative comfort for passengers on the modern aircraft of today, the modern airline of today. And we're also hearing this very interesting story from Art Griego on, his flying days and whether or not he was awake while he was flying. I don't know. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. So I just was talking to Nikki, and you don't believe it, bud?
No, I believe it.
Nikki thinks or thought that that's what she said originated on Seinfeld. It didn't, because the phrase, that's what she said, is simply an updating of a World War II-era phrase that my dad used to use, which was, that's what the girl said to the sailor.
What does that mean, that's what the girl said to the sailor?
So if, anything, you say blah, 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 that's what she said.
That's what a girl said to a sailor.
Yeah.
All right.
Look, man, you know exactly what I'm saying, okay? And that's what the girl said to the sailor, which is a World War II phrase, obviously is talking about either some chick he meets in a bar, maybe a prostitute. So we're not, we're on the same page with this this interesting bit of, risque humor. And so then it morphs into that's what she said. But I can certainly understand where some people think something originates here. That I don't know where a lot of stuff originates. I don't know where that's what the girl said to the sailor originated.
Well, it might have been a World War I,
There's no question that these phrases go back literally hundreds of years, if not more. But they take on different forms. There's different verbiage. There's different... ways of communicating essentially the same idea, which is to take a phrase and then connect it to something either scatological or risque or naughty or racy to elicit a humorous response from the audience. Go, bud.
Yay.
Cut. All right.
Do I have to cue him for applause?
I think it's better that way. All right, Art Griego on the line with us here on the Phil Hendry Show as we continue with this discussion of the relative comfort of airline seats. Art, you had a piece of tape.
This was a piece of tape that was aired on the Dan Saskel show on KROD in San Francisco. And I felt that it needed some context because I can tell you right now, Dan Saskel did not give me or any member of the Pilots Federation an opportunity to respond. This was a recording, a cockpit recording of an in-flight, the cockpit of a flight that I was the captain on. This is between Los Angeles and Las Vegas. They used a filter to filter out my radio communication with the tower, and it sounds like this. This is pre-filter, Phil. I think you heard that, did you?
I heard a little bit of it. It sounded like a plane.
It sounded like an airplane about to crash.
Yes, but that's not what happened. Here is the actual broadcast. This is the actual control tower recording of the cockpit radio as that took place. Mayday, 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 mayday. Yeah, mayday. Ah, yeah, I pulled it out. Yeah, feels good. You heard that, right, Phil?
Yeah, I heard that.
Well, what does that mean? Yeah, I heard that.
It means I heard that.
What was that a recording of?
That was me in the cockpit yelling Mayday, and then I pulled it out.
That's what she said.
What?
You're not what they wanted?
Wait, hold on for a minute. Why did you say that?
Because you guys are talking about it.
You thought that because you were talking about it, you're supposed to say that's what she said.
Why?
Because that's what Nikki said in the break.
Well, okay. No, bud. All right.
All right.
Why did he say that's what she said? I'm talking about an aircraft that almost crashed, and he's making a joke?
Did it almost crash, or did it not almost crashed, and it sounded worse than it sounded.
What?
Hold on for a minute. Man, I'm going to kill somebody.
Well, Phil, you're making it worse with the whole "that's what she said."
Wait a minute. I didn't say that. He said it because he was quoting Nikki from the break, who said that when somebody said, we almost crashed, but I pulled it out.
She didn't say that. He said that, and she laughed.
All right, so we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with more. And, Bud, you know,
I thought you wanted me to say that.
I never said anything of the sort for you to say anything of having to do with anything, okay, you moron? We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. And like that, man. Boy, this is some nice, relaxing music. How'd you like to hear "This Is Your Landing"? World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, and welcome back. And we were just looking at some footage from the Super Bowl. Bruno Mars, this guy, if you haven't seen Bruno Mars, you should do yourself a favor and watch him live. His music is just one facet of Bruno Mars. He's an entertainer on a scale, on a par with... many people have said James Brown, and I Yeah, okay, James Brown. I think a lot of that comes from the fact that...
Well, James Brown conked his hair just like this young man.
What do you mean, conked his hair?
Well, they do. He did. I mean, the James Brown had that conk thing going on.
What do you mean, conk?
Where you straighten the hair. I mean, you straighten and you make the hair look... I don't want to get into it, but basically you look like you got straight hair. And that's fine. It's no different from, I think... white guys getting perms, but in any event...
Well, then why are you going through the whole,
Because at the time, it was considered not a very proud move for a black man to conk his hair and try to look like he had a jelly roll like Elvis Presley, that's all. But nonetheless, I don't think that probably was the thinking when one saw the performing of James Brown, whether white or black member of the audience. James Brown was an outstanding performer in every respect, and was a great visual performer. Jackie Wilson, the same thing. You know, Michael Jackson, the same thing. Bruno Mars, I think, brings up, though, more of... you're thinking of the 60s, I think. You're thinking of the Jackie Wilsons and the James Browns because visually, yeah, there is a similarity in the look. And what the general was saying, conking the hair.
Well, I'm not, you know, please don't. I'm not trying to say that there is some racism or racial. I'm just saying that the two men conked their hair. And you can't let that make you think that he's... I thought James Brown, there will never be another James Brown.
I agree.
So trying to say that Bruno Mars... But the young man does have some of the same moves and certainly aspires to the same high level of entertainment. Let's just put it that way. And, okay, my voice...
Take it easy, General. Just slow down.
Yeah, you're starting to strain your voice, General.
Well, I'm trying to say I admire both men.
And I do, too. And we'll just leave it at that. But, yeah, Bruno Mars has that classic jelly roll.
Well, but when you said conk the hair, now you're talking about Malcolm X...
Malcolm X, in the book and in the film, yeah, he referred to conking the hair as something that he felt was a degrading. I'm not putting down Bruno. I don't want to go, you know.
Well, why don't you want to?
Because it sounds like I'm putting the kid down, and I don't mean to. I'm not. I'm just saying he's got that classic James Brown look. All right.
You're also saying...
Margaret, will you just let it, you know, go?
Just let it go, Miss Gray. God.
Oh, okay. I'll let it go. Thank you.
Well, I mean, you know, I think it's natural for us to say, oh, Bruno Mars. First of all, his music is not like James Brown. James Brown was far more of a blues artist, and rhythm and blues artist, whereas Bruno Mars is more of a pop singer, I think. But that's to be understood. I think we can understand that given the taste in music changes. Bruno Mars has a far bigger stage act. James Brown was by himself up there, man. He had musicians that backed him up, but he did not have a core or a group of dancers and singers behind him. I think he had on occasion a few females, but it was just James Brown at the mic doing his thing. Things are far more elaborate these days. The stage shows of entertainers today involve far more dancers, far more singers. There might even be more musicians up there. And everybody is choreographed now. It isn't just the dancers. And it's now the musicians themselves have a choreography. There is far more staging. There's lights. There's all kinds of... What was that? I'm listening to things. Do we still have our ISDN line? Are we still...
I heard that too, Phil.
Are we okay, Nikki?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. All right, so let me get Art Griego back here before he hangs up on us. Art, when we just talked to you a moment ago, you played a piece of tape that sounded as if you were about to crash the aircraft, and then we got into that whole "that's what she said."
Well, yeah, I'm sorry that that's what happened because it was not funny. I didn't like hearing him say "that's what she said." When I said I pulled it out. When we almost crashed, I wasn't talking about anything sexual.
No, I understand that. I understand. But what you played for us was a piece of tape that was released by the Pilots Federation that did not have the audio?
That is correct, yes. And then we re-released it with the audio, and you could hear me yelling, "Mayday, mayday, oh, it's okay, I just pulled it out." And then some guy in the control tower said, "That's what she said." And that's when we finally landed, and I got out of the cockpit. I walked directly to the control tower.
Hold on for a minute. I'm hearing, just hang on. I'm hearing a lot of popping and zinging there, Nick. I just want to be sure.
Yeah, I'm hearing it, too.
Okay.
I don't know what's going on.
Well, as long as we're still pumping the thang out, you know.
That's what she said.
I'm going to kick your ass, okay? Anyway, Art, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. When I got out of the aircraft, I went directly to the control tower, and I cold cocked the. I said, "Which one of you guys said that's what she said?" Some little guy, a little redheaded guy with a cigar, raised his hand, and I had to punch down on him because he was so short. But I was able to, I put him on his back and crushed the cigar because the shot, it was a right hand direct to his face. It flattened the cigar against his face, then knocked him out.
Okay, you're proud of that?
No, I'm not proud of that, Phil. I mean,
because right now you're talking about how you assaulted a man. We want to know about flying. Flying. You understand?
Yes, I understand about flying. I understand that.
Well, then talk about it, Art, and not you brutalizing a man much shorter than you.
The guy said that's what she said into my ear. All right.
Here's what I want to know. That tape that you played for us was a aircraft that sounded like it was going to crash, and it wasn't going to crash. What was the point of playing that?
Because that was a flight that I took to, that was a flight that we were on to Las Vegas that I overshot because I'd fallen asleep, because I wanted to escort six of our flight attendants. They said, "Let's go to the place where the alcoholic beverages are sold, Margaret."
You don't have to be sarcastic.
No, I'm trying to let you and Phil and everyone know how this game is played. You land the airplane, and here are the flight attendants. Let's go to the place where the drinks are for to drink them.
Why are you being, like, sarcastic?
I'm just telling you, Phil. You go with the flight attendants to the place where the drinks are sold for to have them and dance. Then you drink and dance, and I almost forgot. I'm married, oh well, and you have sex with one of the flight attendants. You understand? I mean, I'm sorry I have to talk like I'm talking to idiots, but you guys don't seem to get it.
And I get it 100%. It doesn't make any difference whether I get it or not. You're flying an aircraft. I don't care if you had sex with all the flight attendants, if you're married. None of that matters to me. What matters to me is, as a passenger, I'm on your airplane, and I want it to land safely.
And it does land safely, as this aircraft landed safely. But they didn't want to play for you this tape. They played the other tape. Mayday, mayday. That's the tape that they should have played, where you hear me saying, "Mayday, mayday, ah, yeah." And then I said,
I don't hear any control tower.
All right, I'll play it again, and we'll enhance it. If you can enhance, just roll off the low end there, Bill. Here it is. Mayday, mayday, mayday. Ah, pulled it out. That's what she said. I'll get you. All right, did you hear that?
You know what? I think that's a phony.
What do you mean?
What is that supposed to mean?
I think that's not a real recording. I think you dummied it up just now.
Margaret, please don't say dummied it up, because you're leaving the door wide open for me to walk right in with the bunker buster of all jokes.
Well, I'm not impressed.
All right, Art Griego is with us as we talk about airline, not so much safety as we were trying to talk about comfort. And Art is telling us a tale that is quite astounding, that as a pilot, he flew a number of flights between Las Vegas and Los Angeles, fell asleep a number of times, and overshot the destinations. And in one instance, and you just heard the tape, apparently the aircraft sounded like it was heading in for a crash, and he was able to, quote, pull it out. There's some sub-story here, or...
Well, it's a subplot having to do with a short, red-headed air traffic control guy with a cigar.
Yes, that Art went and assaulted.
What do you mean, assaulted? You're talking about...
No, I mean he punched. God.
He punched him, bud.
Oh, well.
And that's because this guy had a smart-ass remark that he made. We'll be back with Art Griego. And I would like to get into more of this seat comfort thing. All kinds of stuff happening this evening as we got into the program having to do with the Bill Nye versus Ken Ham debate on evolution and creationism. Bud Dickman, of course, we had to talk with him because the creationist's name is Ken Ham. Bud got off some very ill-advised, what he thought were funny lines about spanking Ham and pressing Ham and this and that. And so we never did get rolling on the debate itself. We will try to return to that in due time. Also, at our online store, the brand spanking new Rudy Canoza Je T'aime Lingerie La 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 Ladies Tees. They are pink, three-color tees, available, T-shirts available to you ladies at our website in the online store at philhendryshow.com. So please do visit us there. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And tune in. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, and TuneIn. TuneIn. If you have a TuneIn app, and we strongly suggest you get your TuneIn app, you can listen to our show live 7 to 10 at night, 10 to 1 on the East Coast. You can also hear a podcast of our show the following day at philhendryshow.com. You can hear the live stream of our show at philhendryshow.com. Or you can listen to one of our affiliates on the over-the-air terrestrial thing. It's all there at, it's all there on your radio or Phil Hendry Show. .com. So, how's it looking there, Robert and Bud?
Yeah, we're talking about Bill Nye, the science guy.
Right. I had these two guys, Bud and Robert, talk about the debate that they're watching between Bill Nye, the science guy, and Ken Ham. And without any of your ham jokes, okay.
I'm sorry.
How do you think it's going so far, Bud?
Well, I agree with Mr. Ham, even though I made a joke about his name. And he's saying that God created it, and then, you know, other stuff came into it. But first it was God.
Okay, that's the creationist?
Yeah, that's creationism.
Robert?
Well, Bill Nye, the science guy, is saying that if you have to have faith in God, then that's not exactly scientific. They're saying that the creationists don't think the secularists, they call the secularists, are scientific. Because they have a whole lot of mumbo-jumbo. They were never there. They didn't see what happened.
Right. Okay.
See, that doesn't make any sense at all.
Don't worry about it, Margaret. So we're going to get into a little bit of that discussion at the top of the hour. Maybe we can get into it here if our good friend Art Griego. Art, just want a couple more questions here, Art, and then we'll probably push our... discussion of evolution or the actual Bill Nye and Ken Ham debate to the other side of the hour. Art Griego with us.
Well, you know, Phil, don't let me interrupt, your radio show. I mean...
What are you talking about?
Well, I'm here to tell you about some of the things I'm up against, and you want to talk about some guy... Now, I'm not making it. The guy's name is Ham, right?
Yes, Ken Ham. He's a creationist. Here's the reason why I sounded a little bit, if I didn't sound absolutely committed, it's because I'm not sure if we have strayed so far from our topic of airline comfort.
Well, I don't think we have at all. What I'm trying to say to you is that what I was up against as a pilot, what pilots are up against every day, is a comfort issue. You want the passengers to be comfortable. I want the passengers to be comfortable. But when I'm flying an airplane that is already difficult for me to fly, because, as I said, and forgive me, Phil, if I'm sounding like I'm condescending and being insulting in that manner, but I have to put it in as exacting a language as I can. When you fly the airplane...
Art, you don't have to talk like we're idiots.
Well, I'm sorry, Ms. Gray, but this is... When I'm flying the airplane with the flight attendants... And I land, and they want for to have the sex and drinks.
What does that mean?
What do you mean that they want to have sex and drinks?
What? You don't understand that.
You're acting as if this is something you have no choice in.
I'm an airline pilot. I'm going to Las Vegas. There's six females. They're saying, come on, Art. What are you doing, Art? I said, I'm doing the post-flight safety check. Oh, ha, ha, ha. Okay. See, they give you no choice. So I got to get off the aircraft. I got to go down to the alcohol place and to the hotel where the girls are for to have the sex. Wow.
You know, you're talking like this is something you have no choice in, that you are pressed into service.
Get a load of you with the pressed into service. You were a moment ago talking about pressed ham. And
that's got nothing to do with what we're talking about now. You're acting as if this is something you have no choice in. And therefore, when that aircraft almost crashed, even though you said you, quote, pulled it out, and then you beat up some guy that said that's what she said from the control tower, I mean, it sounds to me like your whole, I'm sorry to say this, it sounds like you were completely out of control as a pilot.
Well, Phil, you know, I could insult you professionally, but I'm not going
to
do that.
I'm not trying to insult you. I'm reacting to what I heard on those tapes. All right, and forget about the fact that we wanted to talk about relative safety and comfort of passengers.
Well, we can talk about it all you want. I mean, I make sure that my passengers are comfortable, even as I am living in a hell, in my own personal hell up in the cockpit. I want to make sure that my passengers are comfortable. You talk to anybody that ever flew on a Griego flight. You talk to anyone that ever flew Griego, and that's how I put it, and that's how a lot of pilots put it. My last name's Griego, and if you flew Griego, which means if you flew on any aircraft that was captained by me, you were as snug as a bug in a rug, my friend, even as I, roiled and broiled in my own personal hell in that cockpit, hungover, needing to urinate, the burning that comes from, eating spicy food. You see, to you, that's a joke.
It sounds like you're partying and you think that everybody's going to feel bad for you on account of your party.
Now, that's the first sensible thing I've heard Bud say.
Well, that's great. Good for you, Bud. You said something sensible. I am telling you...
Why should I feel sorry for you? Because your guts are boiling from eating spicy food.
If you put it all together, and I had six flight attendants telling me... Oh, are you not going to come and party with us? What do you have to do? Safety checks? Yeah, okay. So I got to go. I got to go to where the alcohol is and where the spicy hot Indian food is. The next morning, it's a whole other torture chamber. And that torture chamber is about 3 feet by, 6 feet. It's called an aircraft John. And that is my own personal living hell, that aircraft John, where the pilot goes in the morning. And I've got to pass through my colon acid, pure hydrochloric acid.
Thank you very much, Art, for letting us know all about what passes through your colon. That is so classy.
Are you people not aware of what I'm trying to say?
What you're telling me is that you are hungover.
No, I'm not. It's more than hungover.
Yeah, it burns when it comes out.
Yes, it burns when it comes out, if you want to put it that way. Are you saying that that's not worth anything? In other words, so that's not worth anything, huh? It's all about you? I can tell you, Phil, I have flown an awful lot of aircraft.
No, when you say it's all about me, I'm the passenger. So, yeah, it's going to be all about me. And your discomfort as a pilot because you partied with the flight attendants, because you ate hot and spicy Indian food, because you drank a lot of booze, because you danced until 3 a.m. and you only got 3 hours of sleep, you're asking me to feel sorry for you and to consider that a hazard of your profession, one that you must contend with, and one that we need to do everything that we can to understand. And I'm telling you that it sounds to me like you're losing your mind. That's no reasonable person is going to take that into consideration.
All right, well, then you don't know anything about the world of a pilot, you know. And
I know a little bit about the world of a pilot because my brother is a pilot.
Oh, well, your brother's a pilot. Well, I'm sure you know all. Okay. Did your brother tell you every morning and every night that he would... did your brother inform you every day and every time he noticed he had the drip? No, I don't think he did. Thank you.
What a pig.
Boy, did he hung up.
Yeah, he did.
What an absolute... Art, if you're listening, and I know you are, you're a pig.
Art, I have to agree with Margaret. That was a very piggish thing to go out on.
What did he say?
He's talking about the drip.
So, in other words, all the airline pilots of America are suffering from burning diarrhea. They're suffering from a hangover, headaches, and now gonorrhea.
Yes.
And there's Phil laughing. Let that go on record. There's Phil laughing.
Yeah, it was funny. It was very funny. And I apologize that it struck me as funny, but what do you want me to say? It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, and we're very, very grateful you're with us tonight, and we'll be back on the other side here with a little bit of a discussion of the evolution debate, also this castaway guy. I mean, what's the story with this cat, the guy that was supposedly went across the ocean?
Oh, that nut, yeah.
Yeah, that nut. And a whole lot of other stuff here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.